Reese, tremendous job. That was great. So it's encouraging to have people bring forth their talent for the saints to be able to enjoy, and it was very enjoyable. This afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to keep going through the heart, and we're going to talk about, take the next step forward, and talk a little bit about our new heart. Last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about how God has desired the whole heart from the beginning. This isn't a new concept that God is desirous of, that he has always desired a person's heart. And because of God's love for us, last week we talked about how he gives us a choice. Use the example of it wouldn't be much of a choice if I forced Brenna to love me, right? It wouldn't really be love, right? If I forced her, right? That's not love. She gets to make a choice. In much the same way, God loves us enough to give us a choice. He doesn't force us to accept his love. He doesn't force us to be obedient to him. Instead, he loves us enough to give us the free will to be able to love him or not to love him. We have a choice to believe. We have a choice to be obedient. We have a choice to have faith. We have a choice to accept his salvation. He gives us the choice whether to love him or not. He gives us the choice whether to love ourselves or not. And also the choice to love others or not. Additionally, when we become Christians, he doesn't take away our choice. We have the opportunity to choose engagement. We have the opportunity to choose to allow the Spirit to work inside of our lives where he has all of the power to transform or to tamp the Spirit down. He gives us that choice. You know, some of our non-instrumental friends have a hard time with that concept. They deny the indwelling Holy Spirit because they say, well, God's taken away choice. Well, no, he doesn't. He never takes away choice. The very power of God is within the individual. All of it. But he doesn't take away your choice. You can decide to turn that up or push that down. He's not going to make you do one or the other. He gives you all the tools in the world so that he wants us to turn him up, right? He wants us to get us, but it's going to be our choice. We talked a little bit last week, too, about how man-made religious systems are set up in such a way so as to take away choice, to abdicate personal responsibility, right? Talked a little bit how Calvinism in particular does that, and we went through each part of TULIP and showed how each tenet of TULIP is set up for people to be able to duck away from personal responsibility. It's not taught in the scriptures, but it's a pretty easy out. Well, if I'm totally depraved, I don't much have to worry about turning up the Spirit in my life and the production of Christ-like character. Because I'm totally depraved either way. It's just, hopefully, the sanctification of Jesus makes me a little bit less depraved than I was before. That's the teaching. That's Calvinist teaching, but not Bible teaching, right? And so, man-made systems, the mirror image of Calvinism, okay, Arminianism, okay, that also is actually also taking away the choice for the individual. It's just it's shined up a little bit differently. Okay, what we want to do is we want to get to scripture teaching. So God emphasizes over and over that real love must involve choice. You know, we use the example of John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Well, God loved the world, paid the price for all the world, but not all the world is saved, right? So there's something on our end, a choice that we have to make that's going to make the determination whether we accept his salvation or we reject his salvation. So that choice is ours to make. Every adult at some point makes the choice to be disobedient to God. Romans chapter 3. Let's go ahead and go there. Romans chapter 3. Just in case you were wondering, we're actually still working through Romans chapter 8. But we're taking a long way, okay? So if you were wondering where I left off Romans chapter 8 a couple of weeks ago, we're coming back, okay? And we're actually looking at verses 3 and 4 and getting some points and some foundations laid to be able to really get out of verses 3 and 4 what we need to get out of verses 3 and 4. So Romans chapter 3, verse 23, okay? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each person makes that decision. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. Now, it's a choice that an accountable adult is going to make at some point. The record shows, outside of Jesus Christ, every person that's come to that point has made that choice. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But it's been their choice individually to make. That's why, you know, and we can go through the scriptures to prove that, you know, babies are innocent. That's not something that we're going to do today. But that baby that didn't have a choice whether to come in the world or not, right? That baby's pure. Baby's clean. My baby is good. Right? And so, the problem is that babies don't stay babies. And they grow up, become adults, and at some point make the same choice that Adam and Eve made. Make the choice to reject God, to choose sin. But it is a choice. And the result of that choice is sin marring that heart, blackening that heart, and destroying that heart. Sin does that. One of the things that tells you the seriousness of sin, okay, is what it took for Jesus to eradicate sin. See, God coming down to earth, going through what it was like to be 100% man, living that perfect life, and then sacrificing himself on our behalf, shows you the seriousness of the sin problem. It's what it would take to get rid of one sin. What's the consequence of that sin? There's another way to say that. Consequence of that sin is eternal separation from God. So is one little sin pretty serious? Yeah, it's tremendously serious. And it has tremendous consequences. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, we're going to be in verse 9. The result of that sin is Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So the sin that man commits results in a heart that is deceitful above all else. It's black. It's irredeemable by man. Yeah. Again, works can't save a person, right? You can't redeem your own heart. But God has provided a way so that that irredeemable heart, from my perspective, can be redeemed from the one who has the power to redeem it. So God doesn't just clean up that old blackened heart. God doesn't just do a refurbished job on that old heart. He does something much, much more powerful. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. God does a heart transplant. That old heart is completely removed. It is taken off. It's destroyed. And he gives us a brand new heart. A heart that is clean. A heart that is Jesus's heart. He gives us a new one that can truly and cheerfully serve him. Well, that's pretty exciting. Outside of Jesus Christ, we're in a condition where we can't do anything positive about it. God provides a way for us and gives us a completely new heart. Well, we got a clean conscience. Not only did he in reality take away all of our sin, not only did he in reality take away this terrible blackened heart that we had and give us a new one. You know, to redeem something, sometimes we think of that only in a religious context. But we talk about like the cross being the redemption center, and we know that Christ had to offer his blood and glory, and that's really where that became effective. But I want to talk just a second about redeeming something. If I go into the store, right? Let's say I'll go into the local Walmart, right? I buy something that's $10, okay? Go into Walmart, buy something that's $10, and it doesn't fit. Okay? It doesn't fit. I need to go back, go to Walmart. Okay? They're going to give me maybe a gift card, and I can spend up to $10 on something else that might fit. Now, I've redeemed my piece of clothing that didn't fit for something of equal value. Well, God doesn't do anything like that with our sins. He takes something from us that is completely valueless and worthless and exchanges that for the heart of Jesus Christ. See, man's redemption center is, hey, I paid $10. I can use $10 to to get something else. That's man's system, and that's fair. However, the fair result of our sins is that we stand condemned. But God's redemption center makes it so that we are justified. So that we are clean. So that we have Jesus' heart. So that brand new heart produces all sorts of new things. It produces a new capability to love. We talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, and that's really what the Spirit is producing in our lives. He produces love. Very first one on the list, right? Holy Spirit produces with the Christian that's interacting with him, the production is love. Well, that's a brand new capability to love. The Christian can love in a way that those who don't have a new heart can't. Those who have a new heart have the ability to value and engage with God differently. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start in verse 14. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So a non-Christian, okay, looking in particular at the law of Moses, looking in particular at the Old Testament, there's a veil that lies over their heart. There's a lack of understanding. But when a person turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. And the result is verses 17 and 18. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same glory, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Okay, so that's the result. Because the veil has been taken away. So we engage with God differently, because now when we look at His Word, we get to see the glory of the Lord that has transformational power. Prior to us coming to Christ, there's no transformational power happening. Can a non-Christian understand the facts and even the concepts that are laid out in the Scriptures? Yeah. Yeah. If they couldn't, we couldn't make a reasonable presentation of the gospel. They can understand the facts and the concepts that are laid out in the Scriptures. What they don't get is transformation by the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that goes along with having a new heart is this new heart gets to engage with God on a level that non-Christian, guy with the blackened heart, that sin has caused a chasm between God and man. So, we also value God differently. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Six and verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of our God. The value of being washed, the value of being sanctified, the value of being justified is lost on the non-Christian. The value of what we have within the kingdom. Verse 9 says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" We know what the value of the kingdom of God is. The value of the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 6:33, is that it comes first place. That doesn't make any sense to somebody who is outside of Jesus Christ, who has a blackened heart. Oh, well, why would you put something that is in the spiritual realm first priority? Our new heart also allows us to really understand and to appreciate God's love for us, and God's love for so that we can properly love ourselves. When we start to recognize that God dwells inside of us individually, your individual self-worth and value skyrockets. See, we know that people are made in the image of God, right? We can go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. You are made in the image of God. But if we are in Jesus Christ, we have been completely made brand new. Just like our elder brother Jesus Christ, with his heart now dwelling inside of us. Does that say something about the value that you have as an individual? As it should. And then we see a lot of potential in our brothers and sisters. We see a lot of potential in those who are outside of Christ, because they have the opportunity to have God dwelling inside of them too. So God's redemption center is pretty valuable, pretty important. Those new hearts are pretty valuable and important. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36. See, sometimes we have to step back and recognize what happened to us at our immersions. The value of what we have received in getting a new heart. The complete and total purity of what we have received and the power of what we have. Brenna's sister had a baby today. She had a little baby boy. We don't have a name yet. But she had a little baby boy. Okay, now, that little baby boy is about perfect in every which way. Right? That little baby boy, completely pure, completely innocent, with potential to do who knows what. That's part of the fun, right? We get to find out. We get to find out what that potential is going to result in. But we know that the record, if that little baby boy gets to grow up, that little baby boy at some point is going to be a man, he's going to choose the Romans 3:23 way. Right? But the creative power that happens when a person is immersed into Jesus Christ, the innocence and the purity displayed, and the potential that that person has as a brand new creation is so much greater than the little baby boy that her sister Devin had this morning. They're way out west, so it was still morning. Okay? Now, does that diminish that little baby boy? Not in the slightest. But do we start to get an understanding of the innocence and the purity and the potential of Christ in you? Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 28. "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. You want to know who the house of Israel is? Look to your neighbor. Look around this room. This house of Israel right here is talking about the Lord's church. So, he has given us a new heart and a new spirit. He has cleansed us from all of our filthiness. And he has given us a heart of flesh. Before, we had a heart of stone. But he's given us what it means to be really alive. Because his spirit dwells within us. His spirit produces the fruit. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. It's not by our power. We do our part. But he produces the fruit inside of us. He causes us to walk in his statutes and to be careful to observe his ordinances. It is good to have him as our God with a heart of flesh. God has always desired the whole heart. And he has provided a way for us under the new covenant to have a brand new heart. He went to great lengths to make sure that was possible for you and for me. He did a lot, right? I think recognizing this is an important key. Because even the Old Testament greats were limited by their hearts. See, the ones whom God used, the ones who had faith, their hearts were lifted slightly above the common man. They were the ones who really had a desire to serve God. It wasn't really about keeping the law, right? They wanted to be pleasing to the Lord and however that looked. But they could only elevate themselves so far. Because they still had a heart of stone when it came down to it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you that scripturally. Hebrews 11 is known as the great faith chapter, right? We look at a bunch of Old Testament greats. A lot of times we look up to them. We look up to their faith and see their faith picture. But ultimately, every single one of those Old Testament greats would trade places with you in a heartbeat. Because they want a heart of flesh. They want to be indwelled by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 11:39. So after going through all of those Old Testament greats, and all these having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. He has provided something better for us. His Spirit, who dwells within you. That brand new heart that you have received. So you think of whatever Old Testament great that you want to think of. You want to think of Moses. You want to think of David. You want to think of Daniel. You want to think of Joseph. You want to think of Abraham, the father of the faithful. He would trade places with you for a second because he couldn't have a new heart. God has provided so much for us in giving us a brand new heart, a clean conscience. So these Old Testament greats, they were pleasing to God and they lived by faith and they brought what they had, but they didn't have the opportunity to have what we have. They didn't have the opportunity to have a brand new heart that can be consistently pleasing to our Lord. Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. This is a psalm of David. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Could David have that clean heart? No. That's what he wanted. That's what his desire was. That's why he would trade places with you in a second, because you've got a clean heart. See, our heart didn't just get recreated in the waters of immersion, though absolutely that happened. We now have that Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us that continually keeps that heart clean. That's not something, if you're in Christ, that you have to long for. That's not a one-time thing. The Spirit within you is the living rivers of living water that continually cleanse and keep your heart clean. Conscience is clean. You are ready to serve the Lord because you have that clean conscience. We really do have a new heart created within us. We have a steadfast spirit within us. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, right? But of power, love, and discipline. That's what you have. So David, he'd be pretty jealous. You need to be sitting among saints who have new hearts, clean consciences, and the potential of Jesus within us. God has a relationship with us, wants us to choose to follow him with a full heart, and he made it possible for us to be able to make that choice. He did this for us on an individual level. As we received a heart transplant at our immersions, he did this for us on an individual level as he gave us his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us and to keep us clean. But he also did this on a systematic level. We're going to look in the coming weeks about how God did this on a systematic level so that we would really be able to make full use of the new heart and the clean conscience that we have through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 24. It's my second to last scripture this afternoon. We kind of started in Jeremiah, and we're going to kind of end in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. "And I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart." They will return to me with their whole heart. Now, again, this is prophetically talking about a people who could have a clean conscience. Just like Ezekiel is talking in prophecy, again, we are those people who return to him with a full heart. So not only has he worked with us on an individual level, but he's also created the system for us to be able to thrive. He has set the conditions for us to be able to live by faith and to serve him fully. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Read the first part of this verse, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." God has always desired the whole heart. He has made a way for us today to be able to be those who have the heart that completely and fully serve him. And he has also set up a system by which we can be successful. Praise God that we have been given a heart of flesh, that the heart of stone has been done away with, and that we can have a clean conscience so that we can really bring service for our great Lord and Master. It's good to have a brand new heart. Joe?